Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We've been looking at God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we hope that that will be a Bible study and topic that will be of interest to you. We live in a world where God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and on other things, is often not followed. And so we have two men marrying, two women marrying. We have divorce for any cause. We have remarriage for any cause. And we just live in a world where we've gotten far away from the law of God on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we can decide in our personal lives whether we go by the Bible or whether we go by what man says and thinks and feels and what the courts of the land say. The choice is yours, friend. Go by God's word in the Bible and then stand before him in judgment, having obeyed that word, or ignore it and go by what the law of the land says and stand in judgment facing God, having done that. So we hope that our study this morning will be profitable. We're glad that you've joined us. We hope that you'll come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Or get on our website and look at our materials there. All the previous studies on marriage, divorce, and remarriage are posted on the website under the Let the Bible Speak program and sermons and other things of use. WBCOC.org. That's www.WBCOC.org. And you can find helpful Bible studies there. Turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 2 through 11. Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 11. We're making our way through God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. In previous studies, we've looked at the Old Testament. We've already looked at Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. We've already looked at Mark chapter 19. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. And now we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 12. So turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 12. In Mark chapter 10, we're looking at the same account, Mark's account, that we already studied in a previous study of Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. This is Mark's account, and we learn here that Mark adds a couple of thoughts that Jesus made to help fill out, again, the law of Christ. Whenever you're studying in the gospel accounts, make sure you get all of the parallel accounts so that you get all of that information together. So let's start reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 2. And there came unto him Pharisees and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, trying him or testing him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. But Jesus said unto them, for your hardness of heart he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, male and female made he them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house the disciples asked him again of this matter, and he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife, and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if she herself shall put away her husband, and marry another, she committeth adultery. And so, going back to verse 2, the Pharisees were not asking him for information, for learning, to grow and become better in their relationship with God. They were doing this to test and try him. Whatever his answer was, they were hoping to entrap him. Maybe try to get him to be crossed up with other religious leaders of the day, or even crossed up with the Old Testament or something along those lines. It was a test. It was a trial. And he responded, first of all, by saying, what does the scripture say? Always go back to the scripture. When there is a disagreement or a question between individuals, what does the scripture say? It doesn't matter what we think or feel or what the law of the land says. So he said, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. That's a reference to Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. So they were making it sound like, first of all, God's law allows for divorce as long as you have this written document. But Jesus said unto them, the fact that he said But Jesus said, there is a something that Jesus is going against. He's not ignoring Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. He's not downplaying or saying that that law is not in force. He is explaining that that law was not encouraging divorce. Jesus said, for your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. They were putting away their wives, and this legislation, this commandment, was to regulate that. It wasn't to encourage it or condone it or say it's okay. It was to put some brakes on it, if you will, to put some stipulations on it. And we studied what those were when we went through Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. So Jesus is clearing up a matter. It wasn't just simply Moses came along and he's encouraging divorce, and that's somehow different than back in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus says, number one, it was for the hardness of your heart. He was regulating what Jewish men from the hardness of their heart were doing. And then verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, male and female made he them. This was not what God wanted from the very beginning. And he goes back to the very beginning. What God wants is found in the very beginning, not in Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. The rule, the law, the ideal is in Genesis 2, 18 through 24, not Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4. So what Moses commanded later is not undoing Genesis chapter 2. It's not further legislation to overturn or undo what previously was written. It was to regulate what men, through their hardness, were demanding to do. What God wants is found in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24, and that is that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no more two, but one flesh. And so the answer is no. You cannot put away for every cause, or put a man away his wife. In Matthew 19, it says, for every cause. Here that is not mentioned. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Verse 2. The answer is no. You're to stay together. And so what we find then, verse 9, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Don't put away your wife. And in Matthew chapter 5, 31 and 32, Jesus said, what happens if you go ahead and do that? And he also said, what happens when you go ahead and do that in Matthew 19 and verse 9? The man who does that and remarries commits adultery. The former wife, when she remarries, commits adultery. And the man who marries the woman commits adultery. Of course, it would also be true, the woman who marries that first husband commits adultery. Everybody commits adultery when you put away your wife. Now, today, it's done all the time. The courts are filled right now with people putting away their mates. And when they do that, whether they remarry or not, they have violated verse 9, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And they're going to have to face God in the judgment day for doing that. Doing what Jesus said not to do, let not man put asunder. They're going to stand in judgment for doing what Jesus said not to do. And then secondly, if they remarry, they're now committing adultery. And adulterers, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Hebrews 13, verse 4. And so that's a serious thing. And that's going to be many, 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 many people. And so Jesus says to the disciples later in the house, he clarifies it even more. And it matches up with what he said in Matthew 19 and verse 9. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And she herself, if she herself shall put away her husband and marry another, she committeth adultery. Mark's account adds the fact that Jesus included the wife if she were to do that. In Matthew 19 and verse 9, he mentions the man. In Mark, he also mentioned the wife or the woman. So what applies to the husband applies to the wife. Either way, when you put away your mate and marry another, you commit adultery. What is your choice? You need to be reconciled to your mate. You need to remain unmarried or be reconciled to your mate. And we'll get to that legislation when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. One thing that Mark adds here that is not found in Matthew is that if she herself shall put away her husband. So it applies to the wife as well. But another thing that he adds that is in Mark's account is that when the person does that, when you put away your mate and marry another, you commit adultery against her. Verse 11, you commit adultery against your mate. It is with another person, but it is against your mate. And you know why? Because the marriage bond is still there in God's eyes. He has not released you. And so when you commit adultery with another woman, it is against your first wife because that bond is still there. When the court releases you, God doesn't release you. When the law of the land says it's fine, God does not do that. And so read that very carefully. You commit adultery against her. That doesn't mean she's there in the room when you're committing the sexual act of adultery. It means you are violating that covenant that you made with her when you said, I do, and she said, I do. You're violating that covenant, and it's against her. That bond, what God has joined together, that marriage bond is still there by God's law. We say in God's eyes. That's what he recognizes through his word. The law of the land says, oh, you're divorced. You can go do whatever you want. But when you remarry, you commit adultery against your former wife. And of course, that would be true for the woman against her former husband. The bond is still there, even though the law of the land has separated you. And that's one thing that people really do not get today. They just think that when the law of the land says something about my situation, then that's the case. Friends, many times the law of the land does not match up with God's word. I hate to break it to you. I hate to inform you of that. We just think that whatever the law of the land says, that's matching up with the Bible. It does not. It used to many, many years ago. The law of the land matched up with God's word. But every generation that goes by, we are getting farther and farther away from the law of Christ on various matters, not just marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but other kinds of matters as well. And the law of the land says all kinds of stuff, but it is man's law. As man refuses to have God's word in his life, man is going to make laws based upon what he wants in his life. But that is not the law that we are going to be judged by in the judgment day, number one. It's going to be God's law. Number two, that's not the law that we need to be living by, man's law. If it is contrary to God's law, we need to be living by God's law. So that marriage bond is still there, even though a local court says, you're divorced, you're free to go do whatever you want. When you commit adultery by remarrying, Jesus said, and marry another. So that adultery is when you marry another. It's a sexual act. Then at that moment, you commit that adultery, it's against your former mate because that bond is still there. Think about that. As you're committing your adultery, it might feel good, it might be enjoyable, but it's adultery nonetheless, and you'll be judged for that, and the person you're engaged in with it will be as well, and you are violating your bond. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we're going through all of the New Testament passages on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So Matthew 5, 31, 32, Matthew 19, 3 through 9, Mark 10, 2 through 12, and now look with me at Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse 18, this is just a very short statement. Jesus, in this context, is actually confronting the Pharisees for their love of money and their pride and different things like that, going back to verse 14. And then he says, everyone, Luke 16, 18, everyone, this is Christ's law for all mankind, everyone that puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he that marries the one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. This is the general rule that Jesus said in Matthew 19, 9 and in Mark chapter 10, 11 and 12. The general rule, everyone that puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. So first of all, everyone, it applies to all mankind, puts away his wife. You sunder that, you separate that, I don't want to live with you anymore, and marry another. It's not wrong for you to be reconciled to your mate. You can come back and be reconciled. But when you marry another, you commit adultery. And we made mention that the older versions try to point out an ongoing action with the old English ETH on the end, committeth. We would say commits. It's an ongoing action. As long as you are married to that other person, you are committing adultery with them. And the second general rule that he mentions, and he that marries the one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. It would be the same, she that marries one that is put away from his wife commits adultery. You commit adultery when you remarry. Your wife does, and the one who marries you and the one who marries her commits adultery. That's the general rule. When there has been a putting away, not for fornication, that's the one exception. So Jesus makes the point in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, the one exception to his law, that when you put away your mate for fornication and marry another, you do not commit adultery. That's the one exception. And the reason you do not do that is you put her away for fornication, or you put him away for fornication. God severs that relationship, and you do not commit adultery when you remarry because you are not joined with them anymore, that original mate. You sundered that, you separated that for the one and only cause of fornication, and you may have that right to marry again and not commit adultery. Now, what about the person who committed fornication? Nowhere in the law of Christ are they given permission to remarry. So they may not remarry by God's law and be right. Now, man's law, they don't care who divorces and who remarries and who does what. It doesn't matter to them. Anybody can get a marriage. And there are some religious groups who say anybody can be married if they want to. But there is no law given to the one guilty of fornication to remarry again. They must be celibate the rest of their life or remarry and commit adultery. So, God releases the innocent party, but not the guilty party. And so in Luke chapter 16 and verse 18, we have then the general rule being laid down. Everyone that putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And he that marries the one that is put away from a husband commits adultery. And that happens all day long in this country and around the world. Just divorcing for any cause, irreconcilable differences, can't get along, that type of thing. And they're violating God's law. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 7. We want to look at the first few verses of Romans chapter 7. Paul in Romans chapter 7 is going to talk about the passing of the old law and the bringing in of the new law. And he's going to get to that point in Romans chapter 7, 4 through 6. We're no longer under the old law. Jews of that day and today are no longer under the old law of Moses. And to illustrate that point, Paul says that he's going to use the marriage illustration in verses 2 and 3. It's a short statement here, just two verses, but it's packed full of a lot of information. And he's going to use the illustration that when a wife's husband dies, she may be remarried and joined to another man. And that happens a lot today. A man's wife dies, he remarries. A woman's husband dies, she remarries. They're a widow or widower for a little while and they remarry. That's common. And he's going to use that illustration to talk about how that the old law has died. And now we can be joined again to a new law, the law of Christ. And that's what he's going to do in verses 4 through 6. So we were made dead to the law, verse 4, through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, even to him who was raised from the dead. So you've died to that old law, the law of Moses, and now you can be joined to Christ and his law. Just like a woman, her husband died, and she can marry again. So that's the illustration he's going to use. So look at verses 2 and 3. For the woman that has a husband is bound by law to the husband while he liveth. But if the husband die, she is discharged from the law of the husband. So then if, while the husband liveth, she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband die, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another man. And we understand this very easily. When a man's wife dies, he might be a widower for a while and then remarry, or a widow and for a little while remarry. So let's go back through and look at the point. Verse 2, for the woman that has a husband is bound by law to the husband while he lives. What law is that? That's the law of God. That's not man's law. That's the law of God. God's law is that a husband and wife live together as such as long as they both shall live. That's why we used to have that in our vows. Many people are taking that out of their vows. It's till death do us part. Where does that come from? It comes from passages like Romans 7 and verse 2 or Matthew 19 and verse 6. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We stay married for life. And I realize that that is becoming old-fashioned and archaic and this and that, but that's what the law of God says. So, first of all, what does Paul mean by is bound by the law? That's the law of God to the husband. And look at the word bound. It's bound by the law of God. It's not just saying I do in some words at a ceremony, but when we make a covenant and we make a promise, then God binds us by his law. You don't see that anywhere. God doesn't come into the room and you see him binding the two of you together. But the binding is being done by what the Bible says, by God's law. God's word and law binds you when you say, I do, to each other. And Paul says, bound by law to the husband while he liveth. It's until death do us part. So as long as the husband lives, as long as the wife lives. God's law in the Bible binds us together. It's not the binding of the state. It's not the binding of the preacher or the justice of the peace or anything like that. It's bound by law, by God's law. And so that's why we talk about the marriage bond. When you put away your mate for any cause and you go to a courtroom, that bond, that bound by law, is still there. It's still binding. Even though the court of the land says that you can break up and go do whatever you want. This may be completely new to many, many people. But we've got to get back to what the Bible says. So we're bound by law, God's law. And then number two, it's as long as we live. Paul said, to the husband while he liveth. So then what's the next thing he says? But if the husband die, she is discharged from the law of the husband. The law of the husband is not his own personal law. It's, again, God's law that God joins a husband and a wife together for life. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. That's the law of God, and it's for life. But if the husband dies, she is discharged from the law of the husband. She is no longer bound in marriage to him. He's dead. So, what can she do? What can she do? She's discharged from the law of the husband. She may remarry again. But what if she's not discharged from the law of the husband? He's still living. So then, verse 3, if while the husband liveth, that's when we're bound by law to them. If while the husband liveth, she be joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. This matches up exactly with what Jesus said. Her being joined to another man, she shall be called adulteress. This can be done in at least one of two ways. She can put him away and marry again and commit adultery. That's what we've been reading. Matthew 19:9, Mark 10:11-12. Or she can go out and marry another man. We would call it polygamy. Have another man on the side without putting her husband away. Either way, she has joined herself to another man. Paul says she shall be called an adulteress. And that's not Paul's personal calling her that. It's not his personal opinion. It's what God's law calls her. It's what Jesus calls her. It's not what local authorities describe her or Paul's personal opinion or first century opinion. It's what God calls her. Well, how could she be joined to another and not be called that, not be an actual adulteress? Paul goes on to say, but if the husband die, she is free from the law. That's God's law that joins them together for life. If the husband die, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be joined to another man. Somebody says, wow, that means marriage is serious. And it is. Friends, we're about out of time. Thank you for joining us this morning. We have gone through and continue to go through God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're glad that you've joined us. We hope the study has been helpful. And tune in next Saturday as we wrap up this study. And we're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll have a good day. Thank you for being with us.